Okay, when you dalet amid beis, 2, 4, 6, 8 lines from the end of the page. 14b3, second column. Okay, the Mishnah was discussing, the Gemara before was discussing when you need to do certain amounts of a bezdin. The Gemara was discussing, last time the Gemara was discussing, you need to evaluate netter avai, maaser sheni, whatever, you need a number of three. Then it says, Hegdesh is b'shleisha. The Mishnah said that if you want to redeem Hegdesh, in other words, people used to consecrate, make Hegdesh certain objects, not everything can the Beis HaMikdash use. Somebody donated a table to the Beis HaMikdash, let's say. So they didn't need it, so they would sell it. And then the money would become holy, and the table became unholy. They redeemed it. So in order to figure out the price of the table, because you can't rip off Hegdesh, you're ripping off Hashem. So they needed an evaluation, how much the table was worth. So the Mishnah said, you need three people to do it.
Who did it do?
They had professional appraisers, or a bezdin of three.
How come you're able to take the kedusha from an object and put onto money, but you can't take the kedusha of one animal and put onto another animal?
Number one, because Hashem said so. The Rambam explains that tmura, even though it's exeris hakosev, that if I have an animal that's holy and I say, okay, I'm exchanging this one for this one, so the dinners, they both become holy.
Yeah. Only animals, though.
Only animals. So the Rambam explains the reason. He writes in Hilchos Tmura, he writes, even though it's exeris hakosev, but he said there's a logic between it. Because Torah knows he ate the heart of a person, yeah? This animal that he was makdish, let's say, is worth $100. And he wants to exchange it for an animal that's $99. So he says, you know, it's almost the same thing, you know, and then it goes to $90, and then it goes, so the Torah says, you make something hegdish, that's it. But here we're talking about hegdish appraising property. It's a whole different story. The person not doing it. The person donated something to the Beis HaMikdash. Now the Beis HaMikdash wants to get the value. Okay, so he says, Masnisen Leiki Haitana. I mentioned that it's not going according to a certain Tanya. Tanya, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. What does it say? The Tanya, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov says, Afilu tzineir shel hegdish. Even, it's called in English a spinning fork. You know, tiny forks for spinning gold. Tzirich asar b'nei adam levdeis. You need 10 people to evaluate it, to exchange it. I mentioned it says 3. And according to Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, you need 10. So obviously, our Mishnah cannot go according to Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. Amalei Rabbi Abaye. Rabbi said to Abaye, Bishlim, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. I understand Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov's logic, to Amek Shmuel, that he says like Shmuel. What does Shmuel say? Asara Koyanim Ksuvim Bepasha. When the Torah speaks about redeeming objects, the word Koyanim is mentioned 10 times. So therefore, Shmuel holds that because it says 10 koyanim in that parsha, so you need 10 koyanim to evaluate it. One second.
Where is it?
You dalet amid beis, all the way at the bottom. El rabban and shleishim in alohu. How do I know 3? Where do you get this number 3 from? I understand Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov says 10, like Shmuel said. It says 10 times the word koyan, so you need 10 koyanim. But where do they get this number of 3? And if you're going to tell me, because it says 3 times the word if you're going to say, because it speaks about movable objects, it says the word 3 times, so then it should say 4. In other words, like this, the Torah speaks about appraising land, metaltalin, which is tangible items. The Torah speaks about different, in this long parsha, different parts of it. So the Gemara says, if you're going to say, because concerning metaltalin, the Torah uses the word kayanim 3 times, then by land, when it says 4 times kayanim, it should be 4, not 10. And if you're going to tell me taka, that taka 4 is enough, Allah metanam, why does it say in the Mishnah, haka kois tisha v'kayin, that land must be appraised by 9 and a kayin. In other words, what the Gemara says like this, there's a Mishnah that says, if you want to appraise land of the Beis HaMikdash, You need nine appraisers and one kayanim, one kayan. So if you're going to tell me three is enough by tangible items, because it says three times the word kayanim, so by land it says four times kayanim, so then four kayanim should be enough. And if you're going to say maybe, but it can't be, because the Mishnah says by land you need nine and one kayan. Elamais, what are you going to say? The Mishama lav ba'asara, because the total number of references throughout the entire Chumash is 10, because it says, like it says, six times in the two portions before land, three times one discussing Erech, three times discussing them, then, so it means up to 10. Hekdesh is the Mishama ba'ashita, so then, if by Hekdesh, where it says the number of Kayan to six, the ba'ashita, you should need six to do it. Why did Chum say three? And the Gemara says Kasha. In other words, like this. The Gemara is trying to find the source of why you need three Kayanim to appraise Hegdish, movable items. So the Gemara says, according to Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, you take only 10, because it says 10 times the word Kayanim. But where is the source of the rabbinic opinion that says three? Of the Chacham to say three. So the Gemara says, okay, maybe it says because it says three Kayanim by tangible items. So Gemara says, then it should say, by land, we need four, and we need 10 by land. And he says, what do you mean? Because it's equal, oh, it's going to make it to 10, meaning there's 9, and it's going to make it to 10. Like a boy means 39, making it 40. So then you should need 6. And Gemara says, you're right.
I'm trying to understand, I don't...
But...
I have no idea what...
The Gemara is trying to figure out why you need three people to redeem Hegdish.
Three appraisers. Okay.
The Gemara is trying to find the source of it, that's all.
How did they jump to land? Okay, so by land...
No, because in the dinim of appraising, it says 10 times the word Koyanim, yeah? But part of it is by land, part of it by movable objects, part of it is by other things. The Gemara's question is, if you're talking about land, then by land it says four times the word Koyanim. Why do we need 10? So obviously, when it says three by movable objects, it can't mean three. Because then four should mean four. It doesn't mean four. Four means 10.
So then you should...
So Gemara says, Kasha, we don't know, Taka, know the source.
Then you should, if we need 10, if from this whole thing, you conclude that you need 10 for land, you should need 10 for movable objects too.
No, but that Mishnah says three. That's what the Gemara's trying to figure out. What's the source of three? If anything, it should be 10.
Land should also be three.
No, land, we know the Mishnah clearly says 10. Because
okay, so that Mishnah says about land 10, and this Mishnah about movable objects.
So Gemara says, where's the source of it? So the bottom line, we don't know.
Well, why is it even for appraising?
Well, it's 9 and 1 kayin. A kayin just has to be there because you need a kayin.
But he doesn't say anything?
No, appraisal is for appraisal. You mean if you have different opinions?
Yeah.
So you can have, if you have 10 appraisers, you can have 10 different opinions.
They get the average, I suppose.
Yeah, the average.
Oh, it's not that they decide on it.
No.
What was it again? Redeeming it for what? I understand. Redeeming it for what?
Hegdish has objects that people donate. Yeah?
Yeah.
Hegdish doesn't need the object.
But they don't need the object.
They don't. So what do they do?
Not for Hegdish.
So they want to get the money value instead. But this object is holy. Somebody consecrated it to the base of Hegdish. So what would they do? They would sell it, the money becomes Hegdish, and the table becomes unhegdish. But you need to appraise it. So the Mishnah says you need three by land, you need 10, whatever the various...
They would give houses, land too? I mean, they would do that as far as houses, land.
Don't you ever hear the radio? Please donate your RV and your home. And,
yeah, the whole house, I mean, that's...
They do it today.
Yeah. I mean, why is it...
And if you want to take back your own Hekdish that you gave, you add 20%?
If you want to redeem your own, you have to add 20%. It's really 25%. It says a fifth, but a fifth in Chumash means a quarter.
Rabbeinu, was it customary for people to bring objects?
Yeah. Yeah, it was very common. They didn't have money, they gave objects.
You can exchange the object with money, but once it's money, you can't take that money and unhegdish that, can you?
Right.
Where?
Who? Yeah.
The objects abroad.
The Bezin had a warehouse. Yeah. It's a mikdash at their warehouse. Yeah.
What is this process called? Timura?
No, this part, paid the hekdash.
No. So what is timura then?
Timura is when you exchange this animal for this animal. I was makdish this animal. I say, you know what? I don't want this animal. I want this animal.
But we said you are not allowed.
Right.
To do.
But that's Tamura, though. That they both become Hegdish.
But who is going to do such a thing?
People did it. If not, everyone say it.
People, they end up doing two, so they do two from the beginning.
They didn't know the din.
Rabbi, what? Do they exchange the item with another item?
They can.
Well, who? The Hegdish. If they wanted to, they could. But if a guy exchanged an animal for another animal, both become holy.
But the table for the guy. Rabbi.
If I designate this animal for a Beis HaMikdash, and then I said, you know what, I want to give this animal instead. So you say, I'm exchanging this animal for this animal, the din is both become Hegdash. That's what the guy, what?
Let's say you praise the table, I'll be doing 10 sellouts. So when you go and you're into the marketplace and you're trying to auction it, no one's buying it for 10. Can you go and say, okay, we'll go down to 9 or 8? Can you go lower? For the
not in the Beis HaMikdash. Okay. Beis HaMikdash hand was always on top.
You can't go down.
Okay. Well, no matter what, if it went up, Hegdash gained. If it went down, you lost. I mean, whatever. Hegdash never lost. Yad Hegdash Allah Yayna, that's the din. Hegdash was always on top. Okay, let's go weiter. Harachin. Arachin is a vow a person makes. Now, at the bottom he explains this whole thing, but in Chumash it says like this. If a guy comes along and says, Erki Olai, my value I'm giving to the Beis HaMikdash. That's what he says. Erki Olai. Okay, or himself? My value I'm donating to the Beis HaMikdash.
Olai. Why does it say Olai?
That's what it, because that's what it means in Hebrew. Erki Olai. So therefore the din is like this. He goes in Chumash, depends what age you are for male and female. A male this and this age is X amount of money. Male this and this age, X amount of money. No matter who you are, the strongest, the weakest, the smartest, the stupidest, it doesn't matter. By Erchin, the Torah says it goes by age and gender. Okay? Now, Domim, if a guy says Domai Alai, okay, that means a guy says, not erchen, my value. He says, my domim, my monetary value. So then the din is, how do you estimate that? How much a guy would be sold as a slave in the market? That was the way people evaluated people. Then. Obviously a person is all the money in the world. But if a guy says, domai alai, this is the Mishnah in erchen. Domai alai, if a guy says, my monetary value I'm giving to the Beis HaMikdash, so how much he would be sold as a slave, that's how much money he would have to give to the Beis HaMikdash. If a guy says, Erki Olai, Erki, how do you translate, my fixed valuation is upon me, so then it depends, male and female, gender, age, and size. Okay, that's it. Age and male and gender.
What would somebody sell himself to the Beis HaMikdash?
His value.
His value.
The guy's life was saved. He says, you know what? I want to donate to Hashem, to thank Hashem. I'm going to give my value. That's what he says. So he could say, Erke Alai. He could say, Domai Alai. If he says, Domim Alai, so how do you evaluate his value? Lemoshel, in Parshas Mishpatim, yeah? It says, if a guy chops off somebody's hand, you have to pay Nezek Sarati, the five damages, yeah? So how do you evaluate damage? A guy's without a hand. How somebody cuts off somebody's hand. How do you value the? So the Torah says, you sell, how much would he be sold as a slave with the hand, and how much would he be sold without a hand? And that's called damage. You can't say, for me, my hand is $1 billion.
Well, somebody's an artist and uses his hand.
Yeah, but the interesting thing, it doesn't matter. You sell him as a slave, how much would he be sold as a slave with two hands and one hand? That's the difference. You can't say, my hand is worth millions of dollars because I'm Picasso. If he was right-handed. Okay, so it says, Erchin also needs a bezdin of three. So Gemara says, my Erchin a metaltalin. What is Erchin a metaltalin? Because Erech is on people. How do you get metaltalin, the word Erech? So Amar Av Gid Amar Av Ba'emer Erech Kli Ze Olai. The guy says, the Erech evaluation of this Keli is my responsibility. So why, where do we see this? Amar Av Gid Amar Av Rav Gid will send the name of Rav. Ha'emer Erech Kli Ze Olai. If a person says, I give the value of Erech, evaluation of the vessel, Nesin Damav, he has to give its monetary worth. Now how much would be appraised? My timer. Okay, so why, what's the reason? Okay, so it says, Adam Yadeya Shein Erech Lekeli. A person knows that there's no Erech on a vessel. Erech is only on people. Okay? V'gamer v'amer l'shum dam. So what did he mean by it? He meant the monetary value. Mishum hachi neisim dam, and therefore he gives money. In other words, like this. When people make vows, there's an establishment of what the guy meant. It says, the chacham go hay lechacha rei b'ni adam. They go by the what a person means by what he said. Now, erchin in chumash applies only to people. So if a guy says, the erech of this keli is ami, he doesn't see the value. It says, the erchin. So obviously the guy knows there's no erech by a keli. Erchin is only by people. Because erchin means fixed evaluation. By people, the Torah says, between this age and this age, this gender and this gender, this is the fixed price. Yeah? So erchin means a fixed evaluation. By a keli, there's no such concept as a fixed evaluation. The Torah doesn't say, okay, if they give an erech of a keli, if it's 2 quart, it's this value. 3 quart, it's this value. I mean, it doesn't exist. So when a guy says erech keli olai, what does he mean? So the Chacham say what he means is the value of the keli. Even though erech is the wrong word to use, because there's no erech by, there's no fixed evaluation by a keli, but obviously that's what he means. So therefore, that's what he has to give.
Oh,
so therefore the Mishnah says, erchin needs 3 to evaluate it. Because the Mishnah said the word erech. Now, if it's a people's evaluation, it says in Chumash exactly what the evaluation is. So obviously the Mishnah is talking about erech of a keli. So the Gemara says, how do you have erech of a keli? There's no erchin by a keli. So the Gemara says what the Mishnah means, that if a guy says erech keli there, I'm giving the fixed value of this keli, so the Mishnah says, you need 3. What is the valuation? How much the keli is sold in the market?
And the Chumash doesn't say erech, it says erech. And Rashi says, I don't know why he uses this.
Yeah, but that's the word in the Chumash, erechin. Okay, hi erech metautelin. So erech metautelin, this is the Gemara's question is on the language of the Mishnah. Erech metautelin, the Gemara's Mishnah should have said erech shel metautelin mi boy. It should say the erech of metautelin. Because by metautelin there is no erech. Like we said, there's no erechin. So Gemara says, okay, tani erechin shel metautelin. Okay, that's what it means. Erechin shel metautelin. Rav Chista Amar, Rav Chista says, no, there's a different meaning for this. The Mishnah means the erech of metautelin. What does it mean? Rav Chista Amar Avimi, b'matfis metautelin le'erechin. Okay? Now, what happens is like this. A guy said, I'm giving my erech to the Beis HaMikdash. Okay? So let's say it's 30 shekel. Let's say. Yeah? But he wants to pay it with, not cash, he wants to pay with objects.
Credit card.
Credit card, no. In other words, like this, the erchin is not on the keli. The erchin is on himself. The guy says, erchi alai. So let's see the amount, whatever the amount is. Let's see, his is $30. He said, I don't have cash. I'm going to give you this table. Yeah? So we need to know how much is the table worth. So then the Mishnah says, erchin, meaning erchin and metaltan means the metaltan is paying for the erchin. We're not evaluating the keli because that's what he's donating. Right. The erchin is on himself. He wants to pay it with objects, so you need to evaluate how much the objects are. So he says, Rav Chista Mavim, v'matfis metautalin, is speaking when a guy pledges, matfis means he pledges, the metautalin for erchin. So again, the Gemara says, then it should be erchin ha-metautalin. Okay? I'm sorry, it should say, metautalin shel erochin mi borelei. Again, this is the language. So the Gemara says, okay, read it, metautalin shel erochin. Just read it that way. Rababu, Rababu answers a different thing. What's the case in the Mishnah? The Gemara says like this, Ba'emer erki alai. A guy says, my value I'm giving to the Beis HaMikdash. Okay? Now, the guy didn't pay up his pledge. What else is new? The guy, even the Beis HaMikdash didn't pay up the pledge. So the Kohen would come and the IRS came, you know, and took the stuff. You didn't pay. They came to your house and took your objects. So it says, Boker and Ligvis Mimenu Metautalin, if the Kohen comes to collect the Metautalin, the movable objects, Bishleisha, the object has to be appraised by three people. Kakois, if he comes to collect land as payment, then you need a soda, then you need more. And that's why the Mishnah says, Echen of Metautalin, you need three. But Ed of Hukarka, then you need ten.
Before for the land, it was not ten?
Yeah.
It said the Mishnah said it was ten.
That wasn't Erchen, though. It was the donation. Here it's a similar thing.
This is why the Jews are in real estate.
Taisus, yeah, the Gemara Saita says you go in real estate, you go broke. That's what the Gemara says in there, in Saita.
Doesn't look that way.
I know, but that's what the Gemara says. Ari miskaneis lefarei. So one opinion says it would sakana, they would sink in. Yeah. But another thing, sakana says balel. The Gemara says in Saita, that it makes you poor. And that's a question how it works today, yeah. Well, what's that go? The Tesis over here points out an interesting thing. When the guy says, Erech Keli Olai. So the Gemara says, everybody knows there's no Erechim by a Keli, so what it means is the value, so that's what the thing. So Tesis says, the Gemara in Erechim says, this goes according to the Meir. Because there's a question over here like this. Maybe the guy didn't mean anything. If there's no Erech by a Keli, maybe when he said the Erech of this Keli, he means it's nothing.
But he says word erech. Erech means
but there's
erech.
No erech by a keli. Maybe he means nothing. Our Mishnah says that if a guy says the erech of this keli is on me, it means the value. And the Gemara says, because everybody knows there's no erechin by a keli. So Taisa says in the Gemara in erechin, it explains that goes according to Rav Meir. What does Rav Meir hold? Rav Meir says an interesting statement. Eino demetzi dvar levatola.
Mm-hmm.
A person doesn't say things for nothing. No, because the question is, maybe he means a joke and he doesn't mean anything. If there's no Erchen by a Keli, right? So maybe it's nothing. Why do you have to give the value? So that may hold, because a person doesn't say these things for nothing. He means something.
Can you say something and then later you say, I said it for a joke?
No. By what?
By donating to the
Beis HaMikdash. No. Amiratzi Lekverkim Siratzi Lehedit. Once you say it, it's given.
Given already.
If I say I'm going to give you this Gemara, I could change my mind. Maybe I'm not a nice person, but Allah, I could change my mind. If I tell you I'm going to give you a present, then later I say change my mind. You can't force, Allah can't take it away from me.
This is not an edah.
I say I'm going to give you a present.
It came out.
Yeah, it came out. I'm going to give you a present.
If you picked it up, then
if you acquired, you acquired. But if you didn't acquire, they just said, I'm giving you this Gemara. And I changed my mind. But by Hekdesh, that's like by a person. If I gave it to you already, you say, no, I changed my mind. It's too late. I gave it to you. It's yours. I can't change my mind. Yeah?
What's the difference?
By Hekdesh, if I say I'm going to give you the Gemara, and I didn't give it to you, I could change my mind.
If I say I'm going to give $100 to the shul.
1 minute. Not talking about tzedakah. I'm talking about between people. If I say I'm going to give you $100, and I say, you know what, I changed my mind, I don't like you anymore. You can't go to court, and I admit I said it. You can't collect the money from me. I changed my mind.
Okay,
now, 1 second. By Hegdish, but no, what happens if I give you the $100? And 5 seconds later, I say, you know what, I changed my mind. Don't want it back. You can't get it back. I gave it to you, it's yours, you acquired it. But speech doesn't do anything. By Hegdish, Amiratze L'Gvaya, saying for Gvaya for Hashem, Kimsiratze, it's like I gave it already. Just like if I said I'm giving you $100 and I gave it to you, I can't change my mind. By Hegdish, if I say I'm giving it to you, it's given. Even though I didn't, I can't change my mind. Shunach says, Tzedok is like Hegdish. Tzedok is like Hegdish. So if I pledge $100 to a shul or whatever, and I say I change my mind, halachically they can get it from me. They might not be worth the fight, but I'm saying halachically they can get it.
Machshavu also.
So in Shulchan Aruch it says that Amar brings down David Emes Bilvavai that by tzedakah, if you think you're going to give it, the proper thing is to give it, but the court can't force you. Shulchan Aruch says because David Emes Bilvavai means you speak truth in your heart, which means in thought. So it says by in Hilchot Tzedakah it says in Shulchan Aruch that if you pledge something mentally, even though you didn't verbally say it, once you verbally say it, you have to give it. That's it.
So there is a difference in between hektish and just saying a promise or saying.
Between people, saying is nothing.
Especially if you are a Jew.
Never meant anything to begin with. No, but Tesis over here says maybe the guy said erki erich kelizev. Maybe it doesn't mean anything. So Tesis says the Gemara says erich and it goes according to Rameh. That person doesn't speak like that for nothing. Okay.
This is what you say after you make our pledges.
I mean,
this is what the Rebbe
said.
If you say, you're done, it's done.
It's when done. They used to sell things by Atar Eis in New York, after they finished the bidding and this, the Rebbe said they should announce, once you pledged it, that's it. You have an obligation to pay it. And if not, like he says over here, what's the case we're learning now in the Gemara? The guy said, Erki Alai, he's donating his value to the Beis HaMikdash, and he didn't pay his pledge. So the Kohanim come and take away your property. So you have to take away tangible items. They need me to appraise the value. If they come to take land, they need, it's a lien. It's IRS.
What about if the people didn't have any money?
So it became a debt. It became a debt. And I'll give you an example. Don't talk about it today, though. If a woman, a married woman, breaks your window. I'm talking now, halacha forgets civil court, civil law. Halachically, the husband's not responsible for what his wife does. Hmm? I said in halacha, a husband is not responsible for what his wife does. She's a separate person. He did it, she did it. She's over bas mitzvah, hopefully.
So what is it?
Ishtek gufa. So what? Ishtek gufa doesn't mean I did it. So what does it say in halacha? It says in halacha like this. But the woman has no money because, again, halacha. Whatever she owns belongs to the husband. So the halacha is, it becomes a debt. Which means, if she ever gets divorced or the husband dies, when she does get money, she has to pay it up. So if somebody doesn't have money, it's a pledge. And if there's no security or to take collateral, so then it becomes a pledge, the person has to pay it. There's no bankruptcy in halacha. In halacha.
No chapter 11,
chapter 7.
And if a minor breaks your window?
So then again, in halacha, because a minor is not responsible for his actions, and the parents are not responsible for what somebody else does, in halacha, today it's different because of civil law. But in halacha, you know, the Gemara says, Cher eshet v'katon, p'giyosin ra, meeting up with them is awful. If you damage them, you got to pay. And if they damage you, you don't. They don't have, they don't have to pay. And the parents are not responsible. The parent didn't do it, the kid did it. The kid.
Is a minor retarded?
Yeah, minors are retarded.
No, I'm saying.
Teenagers are retarded.
A minor and a retarded person?
Or a deaf mute.
Deaf mute.
Not in civil law.
No, in civil law you're responsible. That way in halacha today, the parents are responsible. You always have this in school. Kids break other kids' things.
So why are the parents responsible to pay for education of the child?
Why are they? Because Torah says so. Yesterday said Yom Yom. The Alter Rebbe called the Chassid, said, I have an obligation to teach my child. You have an obligation to support your family. Let's switch. I'll support your family and you teach my kid.
So what happened to a six-year-old? Up to six-year-old? I mean, when the Torah talks about that you're responsible for the kids.
No, the Torah says you're responsible to feed the kid, to support the kid until six. Mm-hmm. But the Gemara says, Tava Me'era, you should, whoever doesn't after six is cursed. So therefore there's a whole din. If you support your kids over six, is that tzedakah money, not tzedakah money? It's a whole debate in Allah.
The Rebbe also said, if you have a question about everything, someone should evaluate themselves.
Right. No, so?
I mean, you quoted Rabbi also.
Good.
Rabbi, this transfer of Kedusha, something unrelated to this subject. When you weren't here, a rabbi talked to transferring a sin from one person to another person.
A sin?
A sin. Is it doable?
If you sin, I make him sin?
No.
Like Chatas Kolalai. No.
You see, somebody wanted to divorce somebody. It happened in Russia, the rabbi was telling us. And he said, okay, I give you get if you accept all my sin. So
that was in Living Torah.
In Persians, it's very customary.
Is it something?
Living Torah.
It was in Living Torah.
They say, do this, the Avon is on
the
me.
The man was the father-in-law was talking about.
No.
The week you were away.
I'm not responsible for what other people say.
So the sin
say,
is not transferable.
The Avon is on me.
You can't do that. How can you... Just think a second. You sinned. That was not how you sinned.
This is a Chabad.
I don't know. I'll ask him what he means.
That was on.
It wasn't Living Torah.
No, the rabbi from New City.
Oh, yeah.
Oh. There wasn't Mendel's father. It was Avraham Kotlarsky.
No, it was
Kotlarsky.
It was Kotlarsky. It was an interesting story. And the rabbi got involved too.
The rabbi said, can I have half of those?
No, he says.
Averas, yeah.
So they went to the rabbi. They said, what are you going to do? Rabbi says, okay, have it transferred to the woman. And at the moment it transferred, the head of the Chabad rabbi all the sin would transfer to him. So the head of Chabad got upset. He traveled to the Rebbe, and Rebbe says, here is money. Can I have half of your sin? So,
I know there's a story of a person here in L.A. There was a couple passed away already, an older couple. They were the kids live here. She was Holocaust survivors, and she was sick with cancer. They went into the Rebbe, and the Rebbe became very serious. I don't know exactly the details. It's already printed all over the place. The Rebbe said, do you know this German guy? Something like that. And the Rebbe transferred the illness from her to him, and he died, and she stayed alive.
But only a Rebbe.
Yeah, not you and me. Trust me. It ain't happening.
You need more of those.
The Rebbe transferred the illness. It's a well-known story. The Rebbe transferred her illness to the guy, and the guy died. And she stayed alive. But not Avedis. How can you transfer Avedis?
Someone should have done that in 1942.
Oh, okay. They didn't because Eibishter didn't want it. Okay. Amalei Rav Acha midivta l'Ravina. So Rav Acha midivta said to Ravina, I don't understand. Bishleim alafukim hegdish being in shleish. I understand to take out of hegdish, to take out from the, and as you want to evaluate how much something is of hegdish, you need three. Why do you need three appraisers to make something hegdish? Here, what are we talking about? We're making the guy's property that he owes money to hegdish to make it hegdish. Why do you need three for? I understand when you want to take something out of hegdish, you don't want to rip off hegdish. Because if it's hegdish for $100, then you can't take away $99 only. So you need three. But to make something hegdish, why do you need three? Any amount of appraiser should be enough. So the Gemara answers, Amalei Svarta to logic. Mali laluya, mali lafuke. Like the Gemara says by carrying on Shabbos. What's the difference? Going in, going out. Going out of hegdish needs three. Going into hegdish needs three. So the Gemara says, 1 minute. Afuk, and the Gemara explains, Afuke, my timer, why do you need three to take it out of hegdish? they'll matoy, maybe they'll make a mistake. Right? They'll evaluate it less than what it's really worth. So Eluyonami, the same thing to make something had, which maybe ought to also make a mistake. You know, the Gemara is explaining, okay, why would you need to take out of, to put into Hegdish a value? The Gemara says, because you might also make a mistake how much it's worth.
It's a movable thing, right? Or everything?
Movable things.
Land is the same, 10.
Land is 10. Because land is harder to evaluate. Because land fluctuates a lot more in value than tangible items do.
And it's more precious.
Yeah, it's more precious. It's land. It's yeah.
Rabbi, if the item doesn't sell, then
Hegdish is stuck with.
They have a piece of land that is worth a lot of money.
So they keep it.
And nobody wants to buy it.
So they keep it, they wait. And what does the guy do if he has a piece of the property doesn't nobody wants to buy it? You wait.
Right, but the Beit HaMikdash needs money.
They don't need money. They have plenty of money.
Well, when it goes to Beit
HaMikdash, they want shuls, their Beit HaMikdash have money.
When it goes to Beit HaMikdash, it goes to Kohanim and Levim?
No. By the Kabayis. There are different levels of donations to the Beit HaMikdash. If somebody was makdish a korban, an animal, the animal was a carbon fit for the Mizbeach, it had to be brought as a carbon. Okay? If a guy takes a normal sheep, which is a kosher animal for a carbon, he says, this sheep is Hegdish, if it had no blemishes, and it had to be brought as a carbon. What happens if a guy was Magdish a donkey? Whatever, he had a donkey, he was Magdish the donkey. So that we see, what's Hegdish going to do with a donkey? So then obviously it was Mugdash lebede kabayis. Bede kabayis means for the upkeep of the house. The upkeep of the Beis HaMikdash. So now obviously for the upkeep of the Beis HaMikdash, they don't need a donkey.
Why not? What can they carry with
them? Okay, so if they needed a donkey to carry things around, they used it.
And they
but what happened if they didn't need it?
They couldn't sell it.
They could sell it.
They could sell it.
Yeah, Hegdish sells it. That's what we're learning about in Gemara. You need three people to evaluate the price of the donkey.
Well, how much do you need to upkeep the Beit HaMikdash? I mean, I know it's Beit HaMikdash. I know there is no limit to what's...
They have to pay for the air conditioning, for the computers.
Kohanim, Rabbi. Kohanim or the staff, or the people who work in Beit HaMikdash, they get paid?
No. The Kohanim only work 2 weeks a year.
What about San Hedrin? This is repair, and what about Korbanos, the daily Korbanos that...
That came from Machzis HaShekel.
What about the
barter, no?
But there were a lot of expenses in the base. There was things that they needed, wood. There was a lot of expenses in the base. I mean, there's maintenance, I mean, whatever.
San Hedrin, what about the people?
San Hedrin didn't get paid.
Nobody got salary?
They got paid from the, whatchamacallit? They got paid from the funding. It depends which bezdin. Some of them got paid from the general funds.
What about these appraisers we have been talking about?
Yeah, if they have to get paid, they were paid.
But with the korbanot, the kohanim got the pieces of...
Certain korbanos were eaten by certain kohanim. By the guy that brought it.
But two times a year only. Huh?
What? The guy brought a korban shlamim. If a guy brought, it depends how he's makdish then, whether it was makdish for an eila, for a shlomim, that's the whole beginning of a yikrim, eila korbanai, im zevach teida yakriveno, you know, whatever it was.
But not the same corn every day, he didn't eat.
They had shifts. There are 24 shifts of kohanim and levim. Mm-hmm. Each one worked a week. Okay? Then the next shift came. So, if there's 24 shifts of kohanim, and there are 52 weeks in the year, let's say, but they wouldn't, because in the lunar calendar there's less and less of a leap year. Then there's more than 52, right? So then they worked a week. That was it. Then Yom Tov, everybody came to work, because there's a lot of business.
So why did they gain so much weight if there was only every so often that they ate?
Two weeks.
Huh?
If you go on a cruise 2 weeks a year, you're going to gain weight.
Do we know how many Kohanim were on the cruise?
Bread and meat.
and the crew.
Like how many platim were taking care of the bait?
It depends.
On what?
How many? Yeah, it depends on the size of the family. You know, how many? There's no set amount of kohanim.
There was no like the shift.
There was a shift.
Down, somebody goes up and wake up the Kohanim.
There was a waker and there was a guy that opened the doors. They had the jobs. It was all by lottery. They made lotteries. Who's going to do what?
So the person from Karbanos, like Kohen Gadol brought, he had to bring from his own money?
Certain Karbanos that Kohen Gadol brought had to come from his own money. The Kohen Gadol was very rich.
That's why they have to be rich.
No, a Kohen Gadol Me'achav Rashi quotes in the Gemara. The Gemara says, a Kohen Gadol had to be richer than all the other Kohanim. If he wasn't by birth richer, all the Kohanim had to give him money until he was richer than all the Kohanim. The richest of the Kohanim. Because a Gadol Me'achav, he had to be the biggest.
What about Levim?
Levim were paupers.
Not singers.
The Kohanim had 24 gifts. Yishach the Nehama, the shearings, you had to give him the Lazer Lochem Akeva, the Trumas. The Levim Nebuch got 10%, and for that 10%, they had to give 10% of that to the Kohanim. Levim were broke.
Big Kohanim were made.